Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3. Philadelphia, always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Everyone, welcome into the Dom Show. Good Friday to you. What a big news day. Of course, the sentencing of President Trump. And again, backstory on this, we know what it's about. It's about having Trump take office as a convicted felon. Just even though in any universe, that's not true. It's not going to be true. We know about the appeals. But the backstory, John Roberts and his protege, Amy Coney Barrett. What a disgraceful duo. They joined with the three progressives who don't even have to show up at the office that the Supreme Court wouldn't look at this. This is a continuation of anti-Trump lawfare. That's all that's going on here. Because if this is so horrific, conspiring to steal the election, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with Judge Marchand, then why in the world would there not be a sentence? It's not about that. It's about the tag. It's about the label. And sometime today, every anti-Trump person in the world will be like, oh, you know, over the weekend, hey, he's a felon. How can we have a felon? What kind of country is this? You people support a felon. We're not going to go relitigate all the nonsense. The immunity Supreme Court ruling says enough with this to cast this aside. But John Roberts, the choice of who? George W. Bush. Who yesterday could not shake hands with the president and first lady-to-be, yet was cozying up with President Obama. The Bushes, again, born to royalty, born to rule the country, mad because of Trump. And Amy Coney Barrett, can't blame Bush for that one. That's a pick of President Trump. And even though I think Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are maybe, of course, Gorsuch is a B plus, Kavanaugh maybe a B minus. Amy Coney Barrett is a problem. You may remember how this was sold to us, but you see her, she's being said by the mainstream media as someone charting her own independent course. Doesn't seem that way to me. However she couches it, however brilliant she is, what she's doing is she's having her course charted by John Roberts, who again was the pick of George W. Bush, who wanted to put his Dallas real estate attorney on the Supreme Court until conservatives stopped him and we got the great Samuel Alito. That's what the Bushes are about. That's what this is about. So now, again, do they ever miss with their picks? Look at the big three, the progressives on the court. Do they ever miss with their pick? No, they vote in lockstep. If not 100% of the time, 99.999, not so much with the Republican picks. So that will all unfold over the weekend. Now, as the fires continue, well, first of all, I got a couple of nuggets for you. A local media didn't tell us this. I would have put it as a headline. But I happen to be on Inside Story. You'll see that Sunday at 11:30. I'm thrilled to be on that panel. It's a real good spot to be once a month or so. And Andy Kim, the newly elected senator from Jersey, was the guest. And Kim, of course, talked about collaborative effort and all the rest of it. And look, look at John Fetterman. More about Fetterman coming up. He's going to meet the president in Florida. First sitting Democrat to do that. That's all good stuff. But Kim is a poser. Kim gives you that tone, the moderate tone. This is the guy that swept up the glass after January 6th and all the rest of it. It's Houlihan all over again. So an Inside Story, we were debating who has it right about the Laken-Riley bill. Is it Fetterman or is it Houlihan? Well, yesterday the Senate, 84-9, voted to clear all hurdles, 84-9, some were not there, to clear all hurdles toward getting down to the business now of the Laken-Riley bill that passed over from the House. Now, they may try to amend it a bit. Okay, that's within reasonable debate. But 9 senators voted against taking up the Lake and Riley bill. I guess they didn't read the results of the last election of what people want it done. And I'm tired of hearing someone like Houlihan, the congresswoman from horse and mushroom country, tell us that it's unconstitutional. She wouldn't know the Constitution from a hole in the wall. It's ridiculous. But that's being debated. Who were some of the 9? Well, the usual suspects. Mazie Hirono, the woman who thinks she can do a railroad across the Pacific to Hawaii. Remember that? Elizabeth Warren, of course. Bernie Sanders, of course. But the 2 senators from Jersey, a guy who always lectures about civility, etc., collaboration, that would be Cory Booker. And the other, yes, Andy Kim, the guy that I told you was on today talking about collaboration. Can't we have civility? How am I supposed to, I mean, I still would be civil, but how would I ever collaborate with a guy like Andy Kim, right, who's a poser, the moderate tone and all the rest of it, but a deep radical progressive from the Obama era, who votes against a law that would protect us from those that are here illegally, that are committing crimes against us, might even murder us. How would I do that? How would I, in good conscience, go forward with that? How would that be appropriate? How could I collaborate with Andy Kim? What's his rationale? Is this guy another constitutional scholar like Houlihan telling us Republicans want to take away the rights of all Americans, not just those here illegally? This is just a start. So all those other Democrat senators, Brendan Boyle from Northeast Philadelphia, they don't read the same bill that Madam Houlihan does and the anointed Andy Kim and, of course, Cory Booker. No, it's flim-flam. It's ridiculous. It's an entirely ridiculous situation. Now, as far as the fires in California, which rage on, the media, as expected, has formed their Guardian Patrol. I'm looking at Axios today, and they talk about, right away, disinformation, misinformation, Yahoo. They even say, look at these lunatics saying the fires were set in order to cover up the P. Diddy tunnels. Have you heard that one? So sure, there's misinformation, disinformation, call it what you will, wild stuff out there. There always is. But now they're particularly attacking, like the Warren Commission or something, all of us saying, what about DEI? What about the fact that DEI is the watchword of all of this? What about the cuts to the fire department? What about the fact the mayor wouldn't come back from Ghana? Congressional Black Caucus, she formerly was a leader, and it was tied into all that type of stuff in Ghana, wouldn't come back. What about all that? Well, they don't want to hear that. They've already formed an opinion that we don't recognize. It would take a Manhattan Project. They're words now. You know the Manhattan Project. It's a symbol for government or for anyone saying, we're going to get this done no matter what. We don't care. No obstacle, no money. We got to get this done. It would take the Manhattan Project just to have water in their fire plugs, their fire hydrants. Really? They're right near the Pacific Ocean. Malibu is on the Pacific Ocean. Several people countering desalinization plants like they have in Israel. Why not do that? You would have a plentiful supply of water. Because they don't want to do that. They're not concerned about issues like that. They're ill-run by insiders, and DEI is what is the fuel. And everything is environmentally, you can't do this, you can't do that. The smelt, they were afraid of doing something that might hurt a small fish. Allegedly, there's no way to work around that. Not once they fix on this. So now we're saying the media, pivot. They've been gorged enough on all the fire scenes. Now they're pivoting to attack those that are pointing out how inefficient this mayor is. What a joke. Gavin Newsom, the fire commissioner, and umpteen others that are out there. They are not about protecting you. I've said it this week here on the Dom Giordano Show a number of times. Usually, when we talk in talk radio about progressivism, it's silliness. We mock, we have some fun. Remember, you couldn't say aloha anymore. So we have people call in that say aloha at the beginning of their calls. Cultural appropriation. But at the base of it, it's also deadly. It will get you killed. I'm looking in the Inquirer today, and there's a debate among some of these activists in Kensington. Think about this, where the homeless routinely set fires to warm themselves right in front of businesses. I see the business all boarded up, you know, the riot gates around it, and they're out there in front of it starting a fire right on the street, maybe 20 or 30 spots. And the city under Sherelle Parker is finally cracking down on this. They instantly, or pretty much instantly, move in. And the complaint is, what do you want these people to do? They got to be warm. They can't go into shelters. They're not allowed to bring weapons into it, etc. So they need the weapons. Well, the bottom line is they shouldn't be on the street. We talked about this with Alan Dom and others. There are ways medically to pick them up and put them into treatment. That's what you have to do. Can you imagine in the middle of the California fires, you have a business or a home, you're in Kensington, and they're starting fires, not in bins like in Rocky or something. Even that, a wind here and there, right? No, right there in the street, made out of all kinds of cardboard and other stuff, they just set it on fire and gather around it. And there's a debate over this? Yes, there's a debate because progressives are involved. That's what's going on here. So watch for this narrative to continue to develop. But how in the world can I collaborate with an Andy Kim, a Cory Booker, when they vote two of the nine votes? Still, they haven't gotten the memo that Jersey does want reform on this issue of illegal immigration, do want protection. And yet, Andy Kim and Cory Booker are reading it a different way, along with Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. Well, you know, their ideology. But Andy Kim, another poser, Houlihan, in Chester County, we can't put up an effective candidate against this woman. Madeline Dean voted against it. Mary Gay Scanlon voted against it. What does it tell us when Fetterman, Brendan Boyle, and almost every other Democrat senator, they voted in favor of the Lake and Riley bill to move forward? They'll refine it. Some more debate. I'm fine with that. Is Fetterman not reading this? Who's more of a constitutional scholar if there is something? I think Fetterman more than Houlihan or Andy Kim, another poser. All right, let me give you the side question today. We got something great going on. We noticed this week that January 10th, 1999, The Sopranos debuted. And again, if you remember, early on, I didn't have HBO. I didn't get it. And then immediately, or almost immediately, a few weeks in, a month in, 2 months in, The Sopranos, they're the ones that built HBO, I'm convinced, right? You remember that surge. That's when people started to pay attention to it. And that's when we saw people go down that path. So January 10th, 1999, Sopranos, 25th anniversary, or wait a minute, 26th anniversary of The Sopranos. We thought, we've never done this before as a side question. Dan came up with it. Give us that all-time ensemble show. Now, we're going to broaden the message of ensemble. It doesn't mean that every single person had an equal part. There can be some that had more of a part, but a number of people, 4, 5, 6, 10, are kind of regularly featured. That's what we're looking for, okay? So I'm going to take the obvious ones off the board. Seinfeld, The Office. I once said that I thought The Office was better than Seinfeld. I've since come back, and I was at the height of The Office. I went a little nuts. Seinfeld's better than The Office. But those two shows, by the way, who is the main person in Seinfeld? I would say it's George. Elaine's the glue, but it's George, not Kramer, George. Jerry's character is not necessarily the main character. It's kind of the straight man, the foil to move it forward. So hit us with that show that had a number of characters. Remember, it's all in the call. And tell us why that show is a great ensemble show. So coming up, we'll get Henry's, we'll get Dan's, and we'll get yours. Get your name into the hat. Big prize at the end of the week. We've had a great week with the side question. And jump in here. How do we collaborate with people that don't want to protect us? The Lakin Riley law. Cory Booker, you know, he's Spartacus. He's a fraud. But Andy Kim, all-time poser, that moderate. I'm a moderate. I'm having breakfast with my children. I'm cleaning up the glass. Can't we all get along? Well, it's fine. I'm not saying to just be angry and uncivil with him, but how could I work on a guy who rejects protecting us? That's the most basic thing you should do as a senator. Andy Kim believes Jersey's still that radical. He believes that he can make the case that we are trying to restrict your constitutional rights ultimately. That's why the Lake and Riley bill. Oh, really? What about Fetterman? What about Brendan Boyle? What about all those other Democrat senators? What about all of them? Schumer voted for this. Are they all involved with trying to take away your constitutional rights? Problem is, Philadelphia suburbs, Chester County, wake up. How in the world can you continue to vote for this? Delaware County, you have people in power who just passed a 23% tax hike. You mean Republicans can't win a seat or two there? All right, big show today. Got a lot of great people coming by and your calls. We'll give you more on the sentencing as this unfolds today. You're with Dom. Get in at 855-839-1210. Calls coming up on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Good Friday. We got some great people stopping by. You know that we are big fans of both Mayor Ernie of Wildwoods and Pat Rosanella, the mayor of North Wildwood. There's a dispute going on about sand. What else? And the Inquirer seems like they're trying to stoke it. So Dan knows both guys, particularly Ernie, and has reached out. You're going to hear them today because the plan apparently floated is to make North Wildwood whole. You know the problem. I have no stake in this. Not that we like the 14th Street Beach. We don't want to walk a few blocks like last year. I have no stake in saying, come on, Ernie. How about a few truckloads? We'll come down. We'll help it. We'll move the sand to North Wildwood. That'll help him out. They'll be here. We'll also talk today with Guy Shiraki about constitutional scholar Houlihan, Chrissy Houlihan, the Houlihan out there in Chester County. Now, I taped Channel 6's Inside Story today. Hope you watch 11:30 on every Sunday. It's a great spot to be in. But Andy Kim was the opening newsmaker. He also voted to say this is unconstitutional. Then he talked about collaboration. How in the world can I collaborate with a guy like Andy Kim if he won't even allow the bill to protect Americans, the Lake and Riley bill, to come to the Senate so they can debate it and then vote on it, amend it if they try to, if they want? Why is that? President Trump calling this, and he's right about this, the sentencing this morning by Mershon, which is cockamamie, but they got what they wanted, felon president, when he's sworn in. That's all that you'll hear. And Caitlin Collins, that genius on CNN, saying her takeaway from this is that if Trump weren't president, he would have gone to jail for these crimes. Really? If he weren't president or running for president, he would have paid a fine, maybe. We never would have been through this. But that's what passes as legal expertise. All right, Dan, you came up with the question. You heard my ensembles.
Who'd you give as yours?
I gave as mine.
Seinfeld was one.
Seinfeld is one. And The Office. I took the obvious off the board. This all coming because I guess it's today. In 1999, Sopranos debuted, and they've been running it all week. And I went back, and even though I've seen it 7 to 8 times just about every episode, I still found new things in here.
It's a great show.
Yeah, and we're defining ensemble as, yes, Tony, obviously.
Yep.
But there are at least 4, 5, 6, in the case of The Sopranos, as many as a dozen.
If there are episodes where someone besides the, quote, main character is indeed the main character of the episode, I think it can be considered an ensemble.
That's a great way to get out of it. Yeah. And they've done that with just about every major character. Sometimes they get two.
Yeah, they even did it with Eugene.
Now, a little show. We'll see if Henry probably doesn't. We'll see if he listens enough. Probably didn't. He was too busy with other things, but Who am I a sworn enemy of that was a key player and was murdered, dropped at sea on The Sopranos?
I know who you're talking about just because you said it, but okay. I don't think I can say his name.
Yeah, you can't say. I didn't say it on the air. I've been told
you. Trying to bait him into saying the B word?
No, I was not. Yeah, right. The big P. Didn't like what he was being paid, apparently, at the home show, and was taking it out on me when I did a broadcast there, and they sent him over to be interviewed. And got worse. His son was behind me, and I said, oh, you're pretty tough with a guy with no neck breathing on me.
Like a man!
If Dan had been there, that would have been it. The sun would have been on the floor, and I would have continued with the interview. I know it. Or you had been there.
Well, it's your big mouth, Dom, where you say, oh, the guy with the big neck behind you was his son.
Like, but I didn't do anything. I was asking a guy, Dan, literally, I asked him about other roles he's had, and he was completely snotty. He actually must have thought he was a gangster, and they were going to do a hit right there at the home. And suddenly, the crowd from all the knickknacks and all is coming over toward us. And security just stands there. They're standing there. But I'm thinking, yeah, this is an interview, but take a look behind me with this guy. You know what I mean? I need a producer here.
You think he's a bitter individual because he was painted into that role of Big P, and that's why?
Yes, that's exactly. Danny was being paid $15,000, and that's like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
For a couple of hour thing at the home show. Come on.
At least put a smile on, right?
But why take it? And, you know, I went in there thinking, all right, this guy might be upset. I want to make him feel good. But then, you know what? When he started up, then I turned the other. I'm not going to. That's it. You know, you got to be kidding me now that you're going to take it out.
How far did this progress? Did you guys throw down?
No, the security ultimately did come in during the break and all. But you can't have a guy at your neck behind
security
you.
Security had to break you guys up.
Yeah,
that's great.
He had on a white suit. He was like 5'8", 220, like a bowling ball guy. You know what I mean? Balding, but chest hair coming out. Get the chest hair off me. Come on. Now, that would have been a YouTube special. We would have people driving to the convention center for it. So, Dan, what's yours?
I'm going to take one off. I actually just started watching it last night. Debuted recently, and I think this works. Me and Henry had a conversation. Does competition reality or reality shows work?
Sure.
I'll take, how about first, The Traitors, a new series on Peacock that features a ton of reality stars, reality competition stars from Survivor. They each get an equal amount of time as that main character, so why not throw out The Traitors, hosted by Alan Cumming, as a suggestion. And on that note, the wife's favorite television show of all time, regretfully, actually maybe not, because I have to say, it's a maybe guilty pleasure of mine, that being The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, boy,
I'm genuinely concerned about right now. Are their houses burning up? What's going on with The Real Housewives?
Yeah, they can't film. By the way, are the Rams playing?
They're playing in Arizona.
Ah. The Rams don't belong there anyhow. I mean, it's Fugazi.
They should play the game in St. Louis.
They should. Yeah, they don't belong
there.
We'll
have fans there.
Okay. They might go after them. What's yours, Henry?
Yeah, so I'll take a show first and then a movie. The show I'm going to take features the gang of Mystery Incorporated, and that would be Scooby-Doo.
That is an ensemble. Yeah, that's a good one, yes.
And I had to do it. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't throw in my favorite movie of all time. The cast of Dazed and Confused launched the careers of Matthew McConaughey, Parker Posey, Ben Affleck, Mila Jovovich, and Adam Goldberg, as well as Yellowstone's own Cole Hauser.
Oh, very nice. All right. I will throw in The Quick and the Dead for the very same reason. Not that it's a great film, but you have Gene Hackman, Sharon Stone, Russell Crowe, DiCaprio, and there's at least four others I'm just blanking on. You couldn't pay them today. They were all, a lot of them were at the start of their career. You couldn't pay all those people to be in a film now. Sharon Stone plays a gunfighter, sort of, and it's a tournament where you try to kill each other in the street, firing guns.
Can we take a friend of yours as an answer real quick?
Sure.
Mike has it.
Okay, good. Yeah, Mike in New Britain. What do you have,
sir?
Mike? Yes, hi, Mike.
Yeah, I have the original Frasier.
The original Frasier is a pretty good. Next time we have him.
It really focuses on Kelsey, right? But I guess there are Roz scenes and the dad and such.
The brother. Yeah, that's
a good answer.
And then who's the ex-cop And that's right. The two boys that are so prissy, you know, it's really a riot.
Well, I've never seen a guy eat French fries more theatrically. I'm still amazed.
Down in Wildwood, with
down
the
in
mayor,
Wildwood,
right?
Mulligan's, yes. By the way, how many times is Mulligan's mentioned on an average show? We got to keep count of that. Mulligan's.
Just Bill Johnny Z every
time. Yeah, Johnny Z. All right, thank you, Mike, very much.
Head to Wildwood. I can't wait.
Headed to Avalon tomorrow, too, with Scott Presler for a big meeting with chairman and donors.
Oh, you are?
Rose coming along, the first lady of the summer White House. All right, next. Yeah, I would like to see Mayor Ernie, and I'd like to see Mayor of North Wildwood, Patrick Rosanella there, Dan. Get him over there, and we'll settle the peace, and you and I will divide up the cubic tonnage of sand. All right, Mayor Ernie, one of our favorites, is next. Does an unbelievable job as Mayor of Wildwood. The dispute? Apparently, the decision it could be take Wildwood Crest, Wildwood, and have them give some sand to North Wildwood. Uh-oh. 855-839-1210. Get in right now. That call is next. And hit us on the side question. Fraser's a good one. Hey, looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating you, so save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements with the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements. Use that code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make New Year your best yet with Rescue. All right, it is Dom time. Here's how the Inquirer begins their assault on two of our friends, the mayor of Wildwood, the mayor of North Wildwood. The beaches of Wildwood are so wide that in summer, the city runs a taxi service, John Deere Gator, over the sand to take people from the boardwalk to the water's edge. Those wide beaches, in some places more than a quarter mile, are an anomaly among the erosion-prone Jersey Shore, but in the last decade, they've become part of the town's identity and a cog in its economic engine. That's the important thing here. Let's go to Mayor Ernie Triano Jr., the mayor of Wildwood. Ernie, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us as always. Is Ernie there, guys?
Mayor?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry the damn mute button was on.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
God knows what's going on here. Probably private mayor negotiations. Now, listen, Ernie, I'll tell Rosanella this, too. I'm headed to Avalon tomorrow. I could swing by. We can settle this. We'll divide the sand right in the middle. How do you see this whole scheme that's being thrown out there?
Well, you know, it's like I've said, we've turned this massive beach into an economic cog. And we cannot jeopardize that because of the amount of business that the beach brings. I mean, the concerts, the soccer, the frisbee, the lacrosse events. I mean, all the events. This year we're going to have it's called the Beach Football League. It's going to be a seven-city league, and Wildwood's going to be part of it. And the thing is, like I told the DEP is, they want to bring the beach in when you get past Convention Hall down by Taylor Andrews Avenue, mm-hmm. Lehman Bennett. They want to bring it in almost 900 feet.
900 feet? My God.
Yeah. That's the worst case scenario.
Okay.
Now, we had a meeting prior to the meeting on the dunes about this new elevation where they want, by the year 2100, they want the tides are going to be so much higher. And they want the elevations that are elevation 10 for construction. Now they want it at 15. So your building's going to be 5 feet higher to get up into. And that scenario was, we have to use the worst case scenario. So now jumping over to the beach event, to the beach situation, well, that's the worst case scenario. We probably won't use that. Well, you can't have it one way,
right,
and then different the other way.
I don't know why anybody would want to have their beaches. The ocean brought in could be as much as 900 feet closer to the town. It makes no sense. And it'll create a problem with us getting our events in and out of the area. The dune's going to push the event out. The beach is going to be brought in. It's going to shrink the areas down, and it's going to be a problem. And look, we're not anti-North Wildwood. I want to make that really clear. We've always tried to help North Wildwood. They just blew North Wildwood's beach in just from the sand that they had sitting around the perimeters there. And it lasted maybe half the beach is still there, maybe a little more. So, you know,
Ernie, this may be a dumb question. Dan and I were talking. Right. He said, oh, ask it. If it's dumb, Ernie would be fine with it. When you're talking about moving it in, could they not take some of the sand, you know, off that? You still have sand, but maybe it's not as lush, as thick. And would that suffice? Would that help? Or is that impossible?
Well, what they want to do is they want to start out into the ocean and start pulling the sandbars in to build not only the dunes, but to pump the sand down to North Wildwood. See, they have to get enough sand not only to get to North Wildwood, but they have to get enough sand to build the dunes.
Okay.
And then they want to sculpture the beach to where all the water pitches from the dunes down and then pitches to the ocean. So all the water will run off. Well, that'll last until the wind starts blowing, then it'll start caving out, bottoming out, and you'll get your berms and what have you. So the bottom line is, you know, when Hereford Inlet was a navigable inlet, North Wildwood had massive beaches because the water was not cutting into the beaches. It was depositing the sand into the Hereford Inlet. Now, they're going to dredge Hereford Inlet out. I don't know how much of it or what part of it. And they're going to put that up on Stone Harbor and Avalon's beaches. So I'm thinking, well, if you're going to open up the inlet again, that sand is not going to come. Those tidal flows are not going to come and cut the corner of North Wildwood's beaches off. So, I mean, it's we're dealing with a lot of, you know, ifs, ands, and buts. And we certainly are all part of the same island. But I know the Crest does not want to lose their beach. We do not want to lose our beach. We're happy the way it stays. You know, leave me alone. But that's not going to happen. So we have to come up with some sort of a scenario that's going to work. But that's going to be an interesting conversation.
Well, you know how I view this, Ernie. And I don't want to put you in a minute, but when I read this in the Inquirer and all, I read this as, you know, you're talking about the year, you know, 50, 60, 70 years down the road. These are the environmentalists again, and I don't want to see them set apart two real good towns. You know how we feel about Wildwood and North Wildwood, and you and Rosanella, I mean, just run things beautifully. You really have increased Pete before you, Rosanella. These are textbooks. Why is it they can't just do what they've done before, how they've gotten sand in North Wildwood before? Why would that have to end?
It's all about putting the dune up.
Okay.
They want to put this dune across and protect. I said, I have the boardwalk. That's sort of a protective force. You know, and I understand, well, you know, you don't want the waves beating up the boardwalk either. Superstorm Sandy was here and Jonas was here, I was on the boardwalk. And the waves were breaking all the way out where they break now. They were not breaking up against the boardwalk. They weren't breaking halfway up the beach. They were breaking all the way out where they are. Now, if you get a tidal surge 18, 19, 20 feet, that's a whole different world, and I understand that. And they're basing everything on a worst-case scenario. Now, do we take the chance, do we gamble and say, listen, the worst-case scenario is not going to happen? Yeah, it could happen. But it seems like every year is something new. Everybody tells me that the water's coming in. You can't tell me that to me because my beaches are getting bigger and bigger. And of course, that's because of the sand coming down. I understand that. But you know, our beaches are important to us, not only to the city, to the island, but to the county and to the state.
Sure.
With the amount of money that we generate in revenues through the events we do. And, I mean, Kamea County is the second largest contributor of tax revenue to the state of New Jersey, of which anywhere from 40 to 60% of that comes off of the Wildwood Island. So, So, you know, we
Ernie,
again,
what's the timeline on this? When is this supposed to happen?
Well, they were talking about this fall.
And
think now they pushed it back a year.
Right.
I think it's been pushed back a year. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I just don't know why they just don't continue with the process they did of this past summer. I mean, when we were trucking sand up to North Wildwood, our beaches took a hit. We had major problems down on our beaches with when we had the outfall pipes. We had all kinds of lakes, and it was a mess. It was a real mess. And again, you just don't know. And the funny thing about it, the Crest did not realize that when they come and they cut in as much as 900 feet into our beach, that they were going to possibly cut that much into the Crest. The Crest had no idea. And then all of a sudden they go, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, now you're taking half our beach away.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a lightning rod for them to, they said, well, wait a minute, you know. And they have a dune system down there that's literally going to get bulldozed and redone.
Wow.
So, I mean, just leave it alone. You know?
Exactly, Ernie. Again, you know, I know you care about North Wildwood. He cares about Wildwood. You're all in it together. We're only in January, but already we're itchy for the summer. At least I am. What's going to be the big deal this year in Wildwood? Do you know the acts for the country music thing yet, or what do you know?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them been out. I know Jelly Roll's coming in. I know.
That's a guy I'd love to interview, Dan. Jelly Roll, get us Jelly Roll.
Yeah, I mean they've announced Jason Aldean's coming back in.
There's a Krispy Kreme down the street. Right there.
There's a lot of good acts coming in. I mean we're in the process of negotiating. We signed contracts with them for another 5 years. And there's a lot of new things on the horizon that should be announced shortly. There's a lot more events coming, a lot more things going to happen. And look, we don't sit on our hands here. We don't sit on the successes. You always have to have something new and something different. And
we recognize that. Ernie, good luck with this. And again, just let it go back to what you're doing. Stop. Worst case, once in 100,000 years stuff. And we want this to be a great summer for all the Wildwoods. Well, keep us in your loop, Ernie, please. And thank you for
Absolutely.
Coming on today. Thanks,
Mayor. Thank you, Dom. Have a great one. Happy New Year.
All right, Mayor Ernie Triano. I'd love to do that news conference. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut the beach. Dan, 900 feet. My goodness. That's as big as those beaches are, 900 feet. That's pretty significant. You know, it's a broader thing, whether you go to the Wildwoods or not here, is here you have the state, federal government meddling again. Now, maybe with Trump coming in, Lee Zeldin, the environmental guy, I could see this being another issue that would be, I would try to get it in the mind of Scott Presler and others. This ought to be something else in the governor's race. You know, why do you want to put these people at each other, mess up? Wildwood's got a tremendous number of events, but North Wildwood really does need sand. I mean, they got everything else, but the beaches have really been, last summer it was very difficult. All right, phone lines. Hit us on the side question too. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All that you need do is just push #1210. We're coming to you next on Talk Radio 1210. All right, YouTube alert. YouTube.com/1210WPHT. I'll give you a minute. Get there. Something good came out of the LA fires. You're going to see, it's only about 15 seconds, but one of the stations got exclusive video. And we'll start showing it now. These are people, there's no sound, they just have the video, in a neighborhood in Los Angeles, I'm not sure if it's Palisades or not, confronting a guy with a blowtorch, who allegedly, from what I read in other sources, may have set one of these fires at one point, or at least a copycat. He told the crowd, apparently, according to a news report, he couldn't afford a lighter, he was using the blowtorch because he wanted to smoke weed. And the citizens arrest to see people doing that. So the question out there in L.A. is going to be, now there's a new DA If this had been Gaston, the previous one, or Larry Krasner, what would happen to this guy? And apparently, they think there are at least a couple of arsonists. I saw them arresting one other guy. So Joe Biden wades into the middle of all this. That's the one thing, to see these citizens arrest this guy. I haven't heard any lectures yet. I'm looking to see if they're saying, oh, don't be doing that. Don't be arresting a guy with a blowtorch. Call the police. Well, wait a minute. In that instance, you think he's not going to flee? Are they going to catch this guy? I mean, in South Philly, as I've said, we talked about savesies earlier, stuff like that. If you're walking around with a blowtorch after the winds of 100 miles an hour are burning down homes, you're not going to get out of South Philly too easily.
Also, who can't afford a lighter? They're like a dollar.
Right. Well, right. But I mean, that's what he came up with.
Yeah.
I was surprised they were able to grab him behind, hold his arms and whatever until the police got there. Good work, though, on this. Joe Biden claims now, and I wanted to see if this meets any kind of smell test, that the reason they couldn't pump water, there's enough water, which is a lie, was because they turned off the utilities, the energy, and then that makes it that you can't pump the water from the hydrants. Then one would ask, if they're going to make that decision to do that, wouldn't they have to have some kind of generator? Wouldn't you have a supply of generators? Wouldn't you have a tremendous supply of generators for any emergency? You have to be able to pump water. So we're in the mode now in California, the media now allowing any kind of cockamamie misinformation, including Biden to be out there, to cover up Newsom, the mayor, the police chief, just the whole rottenness of DEI and progressivism. That's what they're reduced to. All right, the side question today. We got a huge one. I'm only going to give you about 15 more minutes before we take it off the board. The Dan and I think might be the best show in the history of TV. It's arguable, but it's possible. Let's go to Scott in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Scott, good Friday. What do you have today?
Hey, Dom. Happy New Year. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So my show is Taxi. I thought they had a great cast with Danny DeVito, Mary Lou Henner, Judd Hirsch, Andy Kaufman, Tony Danza, Christopher Lloyd, and I think Rhea Perlman even made some guest appearances.
And wasn't there young Tom Hanks on that as well at one point?
Was it? Yeah.
Did he play Stoner?
Yes. Actually, wow. I watched Pluto TV the other night, and a young Tom Hanks was on it. Yes.
That's pretty good ensemble, without a doubt. Thank you, Scott. Stay safe in Knoxville. All right, 855-839-1210. So we'll put that one into the hat. I like Dan's definition. You know, they may not be the main character, but if they devote large parts of an hour, whatever the show was on for, through the lens of a particular character, yeah, then you got to say that's an ensemble. We're looking for the one that you think is the all-time best or favorite to tell us what the magic is of it. It's got to be 100 of them or more in some genre or another. But a citizen's arrest out there in California, nice work, guy with a blowtorch. And that's what happens when you allow this to go on. You're going to get these arsonists coming out that are engaged in more. Are they going to win this battle? Are they going to convince America we're making it up, their incompetency? This was just a freakish thing. Nobody. I was thinking about that. And Ernie just said that. They're saying, yeah, well, we're prepared for 20-foot waves hitting the boardwalk. That's what you have to be prepared for. All right, coming off California. Is that the standard where you have to take away 900 feet of beach to do that? Does that seem realistic? Is there something else you could do? That's what he said he was told by the environmentalist. 855-839-1210. You get in on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.